Good afternoon, and welcome to Education Today. This is Dr. Sarah McManus, and I am your host. This program is brought to you by the Triangle Radio Reading Service, and it is intended for those who have print or visual impairments. Today, our guest is Mr. Alex Tavares, who is a Master of Education Technology from the Harvard Graduate School of Education. We're very excited to talk to Alex today because he started to invent something that I think you're going to really like to hear about. So welcome, Alex.
Thanks for having me on.
Excellent. So this afternoon we had what we call the APH Resource Extravaganza over at the Governor Moorhead School for the Blind. And at that session, you were also there showing the persons who participated your new product. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
That's right. The folks over at the GMS got to get hands-on the ReadRead. It's the first device that allows children and adults to learn and practice Braille and phonics the same way that teachers instruct it, but the difference is they get to do it independently.
Oh, excellent. And so there was a lot of hands-on with it, and I know that you haven't gone into production yet, but you got a lot of feedback, and you've been piloting it. So what I'd like for you to do today is tell us a little bit about the pilot. Where did you pilot, and how did the pilot go?
We piloted for about 5 months at the Perkins School for the Blind. And the reason we chose Perkins, one, it was located right near Harvard, so it had a nice access. But more importantly, we wanted the harsh feedback. We didn't want just constant kudos. So what we did through our pilot was iterative design. So we would pilot with students, we would pilot with staff, and we would get feedback. And because our prototypes were produced with 3D printing, we were able to change the design throughout the pilot and get iterative feedback throughout the course.
Excellent. And what kind of students did you pilot it with? Was it elementary, middle, high? Which students?
So all of the above. We piloted with some young students, some older students, adults, children with multiple disabilities, so blindness, visual impairments, children on the autism spectrum, children with dyslexia, muscular dystrophy, a number of different disabilities. So the device is designed within the Universal Design for Learning framework, and I worked with Dr. David Rose, the creator of UDL, to make the device as accessible as possible.
Excellent. And because this is an innovative product, we wanted our audience to know about it because we like to tell them about things that are innovative. And so tell us a little bit more about what ReadRead is. Visually, what does it look like, and then how do the students interact with it?
So imagine on the most basic level being able to touch Braille and get immediate audio feedback. Now for a deeper dive. So you can imagine a set of about 50 tiles, and you can imagine just the letters of the English alphabet, and then a few different sounds in English, for example, ing, ing. And what you can do with these different tiles is place them on a grid. And when you place them on the grid, you can form words. So if I touch one of the tiles, if I touch the Braille on it, I get immediate audio feedback either about the identity of the tile or the sound that the letters make. So for example, if I touch the letter M, I'll hear M, or I can hear M. If I touch the letter D, I can select the mode where I get the audio feedback on the dot configuration of the Braille. So it allows you to practice Braille independently. So for D, I would hear D145. So what this allows a student to do is to practice the Braille code independently. If a student is already versed in Braille, they can practice phonics, and not only through Braille, but also through large print. We have large embossed letters that have high contrast, so students with low vision can practice Braille and phonics as well.
Excellent. Outstanding. And so what did the students at Perkins say about this?
So I can do some impressions of the students. One of them touched the Braille and heard the audio feedback for the first time and said, wow, that's cool. I love it.
Yeah.
They all got the immediate sense that they'd never experienced something like this, and that they prefer this method of learning to traditional methods of direct instruction because it's more hands-on and it's more involved for the student, and they don't necessarily need to be coached throughout. A lot of the students remark that they like to learn independently. That's a big thing for kids with visual impairments and blindness.
Yeah. So could they use headphones with it?
Yeah, we could use headphones, or if it was a one-on-one or a one-on-two situation, just like there would be computers or tablets with text-to-speech working, we could use the device on a low speaker setting.
Okay, excellent, excellent. And I know that you did some video of the students and how they interacted with the device. Did you want to share some of that with us as well?
Yeah, sure thing. I'll play a short clip. If you want to check out a lot more multimedia about the Read-Read, you can go to thereadread.com. But I've got a clip here of Kate Crohan, a Braille and technology teacher at Perkins, just talking about some of the basic functions.
See, when you touch it, the other thing that it does is to announce the dots themselves. D, 1, 4, 5. The letter identification is huge. The size of the letters and the high contrast are good for students with low vision. When they press their fingers to the tile, they hear the sound of the letter. But they learn how to decode a word, which is very, very important.
Yep. That was Dr. Eileen Berger from the Harvard Graduate School of Education talking about the phonics component and the importance of that for young students.
Excellent, excellent. That's wonderful. And I got a chance to try it out myself, and I was very impressed. I think it's going to be wonderful for students to be able to use such a product because it does give them a lot to work with. They're working with the letter sounds, they're working with the Braille, and then they also can put all the sounds together for the phonemic awareness. So that is fantastic. What made you think to develop a product like this?
So I was working as a literacy instructor for years. I volunteered in that capacity for about 15 years and did it professionally for the last six. And what I noticed is in between meetings with my students, they weren't getting better. And the human mind naturally forgets. So they were actually getting worse when I wasn't seeing them. Mm-hmm. So I also realized that I was spending about 85% of the time with students practicing phonics by pointing to a letter and saying the sound it makes for the student. So I said, if I'm spending most of my time doing that, let me find a tool that can help me automate that process so the student can practice independently. And I didn't find anything. There's nothing available. So I said, well, let me make something, and let me make it as simple as possible and as salient as possible for the student.
Excellent, excellent. And so are you committed to seeing this through to the end?
Definitely. I've put all of my life's efforts into this.
Okay. And so you're about to go into production.
Yes.
And so you're very excited about that, I'm sure.
Definitely.
How much would a device like this cost?
It's about the same price as a tablet because it uses the same technology under the hood, and I'm offering it at the lowest price I can, which is about $500 per unit.
Okay. And so what would folks need to do if they're interested in learning more about the Read-Read or getting their hands on one?
So you can head to thereadread.com, and we have a page where you can sign up for our email list where you'll be notified as soon as we launch. So you'll be one of the first informed about when the Read-Read is available.
Okay. And so when do you think you might be launching?
Hopefully within the next few months here. I'm going around the country to the different schools for the blind and collecting orders. Perkins has already placed their order, and we're talking to the GMS now. And we're just going to get a bunch of people on board, and we'll be able to hit that critical mass to go into production.
Excellent, excellent. That is wonderful. And I know that you've worked on the Braille literacy, and you've worked with the letters. But what other things are you thinking about doing to extend the product?
Yeah, we've also piloted with a few learning apparatuses such as music notation. So we have students who have been learning Braille music notation with the device. And then we have applications that we've outlined as well for younger students. So learning things like shape, object name correspondence, mathematics, and numbers through the Nemeth Braille code, as well as international Braille codes and UEB. And then we even have applications for computer programming.
Oh.
So if an older student or an adult would like to practice Braille in a way that's really cognitively stimulating, I've developed a computer language just for people who are visually impaired.
Tell us more about that computer language, because I know coding is big.
Yes.
And they're saying, a lot of folks are saying the coding is the next language that all students need to know and be able to do. So tell us about coding and how you developed it, because I don't think there's anything really out there for visually impaired students.
No, there isn't. So one of my good friends who is blind is a computer programmer, but he wasn't able to get a handle on it till much later in life. So usually the syntax involved in computer coding is really difficult to do with a screen reader because it involves a lot of punctuation, semicolons, brackets. It's really hard to track if you can't use Braille. Luckily, he learned Braille at a young age, so he was able to transition that way. But what this code does is it introduces, through Braille and a series of basic symbols, a computer language that's very similar to what Young's sighted students are learning now. So there's a project by MIT called Scratch, which allows students to drag and drop little pictures of computer code and build, just like building a Lego diagram. So I'm looking to emulate that through these tiles. So you can imagine a series of four tiles, and the first tile says repeat, and the second tile says three, and the third tile says say, and the fourth tile says star. So you read repeat, three, say, star. And if you swipe across those tiles, the device will say star, star, star. So it's repeating saying the word star three times.
That is amazing. That is wonderful. Is that something that might go into production soon?
Yes. That will be one of the early follow-ons, just like some of those others that I mentioned.
Okay. So, and how big would the device be?
Yeah, so the device is about the size of a small refreshable Braille display, so it doesn't take up too much space.
Okay.
And then we have an apparatus with a magnetic enclosure that allows students to navigate the board independently more easily, especially if they have muscular difficulties. They won't be knocking these tiles off the table and losing them. They'll be held firmly in place.
Oh, okay. And so when they're doing the language, the coding, I'm really fascinated by that. Mm. Will there be... Is it just, how big is that device? Is it the same device?
The same device, yep. It's just a different tile set.
Just different tile sets.
Exactly.
They can do all these with
one
set, so they don't have to keep purchasing.
Precisely.
And tell us a little bit about the Braille music.
Yeah, so we use the International Braille Music Code. So if you have a learner from a different country, you can still have them use the device. But you can either have it in a play mode, where it will just play the notes associated with the Braille, or you can have it in a teaching mode with solfège. And let me see if I can pull up a quick clip of that.
Okay.
This might take a minute.
That's okay. And I saw a couple of the students today when they actually, some people were trying it out, were playing some music.
The Read provides an interactive, play-based platform for exploring music that is enjoyed by children and adults of all abilities.
And that video is a short clip of a user swiping across music tiles, each of which contains one of those notes, which is embossed with high contrast print, and then just below is the Braille for the note. Now here's an example of solfège, where a student could learn the association between the sound and the note more easily.
The Read can also teach music notation through solfège.
And there we just have a singer singing in the pitch of each note.
Oh, that's amazing. That would just really change the way students learn music, and being able to learn music on an international level, and then they would know Braille music anywhere they were.
We were talking to the music teacher at GMS today, and she was saying how students can be reluctant to learn Braille music. And that's what we heard from Kate Crohan, at the Perkins School for the Blind, the Braille and technology teacher. She calls some of her students reluctant Braille readers.
Mm-hmm.
And she found that the device was really well suited to those reluctant Braille readers, because it's just a fun platform and you're learning incidentally through play.
Oh, excellent. So did you talk to any of those reluctant Braille learners when you were at the Perkins School for the Blind?
Definitely. I was present for most all of the piloting time, so I got to gauge their reactions. And one of the student who is high-functioning autism was always asking at the end of our sessions, oh, is class over already? Or he would hear the bell and he would say, oh, no. And his teacher said he'd never said that before her class. He was always kind of asking, is it time to leave yet? So we saw a huge shift in behavior and engagement for a number of students.
That is excellent. Now let's turn to math, because math is always a very difficult topic for some students, especially you learning Nemeth code and all that. So tell us a little bit more about how much mathematics a student might be able to learn with a device like this, and the different parts of the mathematics.
Yeah, so you're going to be able to learn either literary Braille numbers or you can learn Nemeth, Braille numbers, whichever the teacher is teaching. We have tile sets in the works for both of those. And you can not only learn the numbers, which is a very valuable skill, but you can also do some mathematics. So imagine the read-read acting like a calculator. So you can set out a mathematical expression or equation, and if you put out 3 plus 2 equals 5, it will give you feedback that you've set up a proper equation. If I put up 3 plus 2 equals 6, it will then give me audio feedback. So it might say something like, 3 times 2 equals 6. Did you mean to put a time sign instead of a plus sign? Mm. So it allows the student to correct without having to address a teacher all throughout.
Excellent, excellent. Would a student be able to go all the way through calculus?
we're not up to that point yet. Yeah, we see this as more of an
early learning tool. Yes.
But excellent. The nice thing about it is we could have a tile set with the different symbols for mm-hmm. calculus.
Oh,
there
wow.
are just many of them. So mm-hmm. we figure by the time the student's ready for calculus through Braille, they're probably proficient enough to be working okay. through
in
other
way.
Means. Yes, exactly.
What about shapes?
Yeah, so we have large embossed shapes. So you could imagine for a very young child, say 2 years old, they could feel a large embossed triangle on the tile and then just touch in the conductive area where the Braille is located and hear the word triangle. So they're getting the association between the physical shape and its name. That word triangle is also Brailled out fully in uncontracted Braille. So for an older student, they can feel the triangle and then feel how the word, which is a non-phonetic word, is constructed. And read it through that way as well. And then for even older students still, we can have a Nemeth configuration of the shape modifier and T, so shape T, which stands for equilateral triangle in the Nemeth code for Braille.
Excellent, excellent. So let's go under the hood a little bit. So you've got this wonderful tool. Tell us a little bit about what it took to create this tool and maybe what some of the challenges were for you.
Sure. I worked at the Harvard Innovation Labs with some really brilliant people, and I also consulted with a few of the world-leading experts in electronics at MIT, which is just down the street in Cambridge. So I came to the point where I was able to get a working prototype and just improve and improve and improve week by week. And now it's at the point where our production model is actually quite easy to use, and it's set up just right so that it's comfortable for a wide range of users. Under the hood, we've got, like I mentioned, the kind of the same technology that's in a smartphone or a tablet, so capacitive touch. So you don't have to push down on these tiles or do anything awkward. It's really a natural thing. As soon as you touch Braille, you get the immediate audio feedback. And a number of different sensors inside of the machine allow it to do that. And also one of our little components in there is a high-quality audio output, so you can hear some of the audio coming out of the device. It's not like a children's toy that you might think of. It's really high quality coming out of it.
Excellent. We talk a lot about STEM and the importance of STEM and working collaboratively with others. It sounds
yes.
like that's what you had to do with this particular product. We also talk a lot about engineering design and making sure that you have a prototype and you perfect it and keep, you know, revising it as you learn more. And it sounds like you actually put that into practice.
Yeah, one of the things we're really excited about, a number of adults who learned Braille as children mentioned that they were always upset that they had to experience the pull-out method in school.
Uh-huh.
So they lamented that they were learning the same things as their sighted classmates, but just because they were learning in a slightly different way, they were being pulled out for expert instruction and not getting to participate. So what this device does is allows kids who are sighted, kids who have low vision, kids who are totally blind to all come together and use the device to help one another.
Yeah, so even someone who has sight could use the device for the phonemic awareness and the Braille happens to be there.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, you can learn letter names. You can learn your shapes just like a young child would learn. You can practice music notation, which people aren't born knowing.
That's true.
Same thing with the computer coding. It's just as useful as Scratch, but in a more hands-on format. So all of those things can apply. Mathematics, of course, to kids who are sighted or kids who are blind.
All right, excellent. Well, you've given us a lot of great information, and I think the audience will be very excited about what this tool can do for them, their children, or you know, family members or just people that they know within the community. Do you have any other videos that you'd like to share with us or any other information you'd like to share?
Yeah, we have a full multimedia section, again, on our website, thereadread.com, and you can scroll through and hear from teachers at the Perkins School for the Blind, hear from professors at Harvard, and some of the staff at Perkins as well, about the device and what it's done for students.
Okay. And why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself and what's in store for you in the future? And we've got about 8 more minutes left, and
sure,
so we'd love to hear a little bit more about you and your journey.
Yeah, so I've dedicated my life to bringing this to the masses. Like I said, this was a huge problem, and it was one that I was trying to solve personally, but what I found is that it's a huge problem for people all around the world. So in the United States alone, about 64% of fourth graders are not reading at grade level. This isn't talking about visually impaired fourth graders specifically. This is across the board.
Mm-hmm.
And we see for African-American fourth graders in the U.S., that number jumps to 81%.
Mm-hmm.
So we see it's really a socioeconomic disparity there. So we're saying if we don't have this one-on-one time in the classroom, the students don't get their early literacy skills. Well, the reason I'm starting with the visual impairments community with this device is that those numbers are much, much worse.
Mm.
So about 92% of children today who are blind are not literate in Braille. So it's only about 8.5% who are proficient primary Braille readers. And that number is down from about 50% from the 1950s.
Mm.
So inclusion has done wonderful things for kids and mainstreaming into the public school system. But the big thing that they haven't been able to figure out is how do we get literacy instruction to kids in these public school settings when the only expert instruction is through the itinerant service model?
Mm-hmm.
And we know that if we were to double the number of TVIs in the U.S. right now, we still wouldn't have enough. Exactly. So what I'm looking to do with this device is have it so that a student can practice in between tactile reading lessons with a TVI or a Braille teacher. And that's incredibly important. Kate Crohan at Perkins has mentioned this a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
Fostering independence for kids who are blind and visually impaired is huge. And right now they don't really have that option. It's only an expert in Braille and phonics sitting beside you. That's the only time you're really learning. And unfortunately, a lot of TVIs aren't trained in Braille and phonics. So we're looking to bridge that gap so that the classroom teacher can work with the student and practicing phonics through Braille using the device.
Excellent, excellent. And what would you say to someone that says, you know, why are we teaching them Braille when we have all these screen readers?
Yeah, so a lot of people, not that I've encountered, because I'm dealing mostly with experts through National Braille Press, Perkins, National Federation of the Blind, American Council for the Blind, they know the reality of the situation, but a lot of people don't realize that text-to-speech and speech-to-text cannot replace Braille. And the reason that is for someone who is blind, Braille equals literacy. So if you're a child who's born blind and you don't learn Braille, you'll never be literate. And if you are an adult who loses sight later in life, then you're also losing your literacy if you don't learn Braille. So Braille is a way for you to maintain your literacy. So just imagine in the workplace the amount of help that you can get from Braille. So another startling statistic, we know that adults who don't read Braille and who are blind have a 97% unemployment rate.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is most jobs that are available to someone who is blind or visually impaired, at least in a very easy way without too many accommodations, involve computer usage.
Mm-hmm.
And the main programs that you use are email, word processing, and spreadsheets like Excel, for example. Those things are incredibly difficult, especially spreadsheets, to use through text-to-speech and speech-to-text. You can try it at home. I don't recommend it, though, and neither do the experts I've talked to. So what Braille does is it allows you to have a spatial sense of the setup on a page, to go back and verify a sentence when you're drafting an email to make sure that you're using the proper wording, that you're not using homophones or homonyms that will make it seem like you're not writing professionally.
Mm-hmm.
When you're using word processing, it allows you to format your document in a way that it's legible to all. That you just can't do through text-to-speech and speech-to-text. And it's not that the technology just isn't there. It's the fact that you're you're working with these interfaces as a person who's no longer literate. And it's just an impossible task.
Yeah. And the statistics are alarming when it comes to the number of visually impaired persons who are literate, and then also the statistics between, you know, those who understand Braille and can read Braille and are proficient in Braille and those who are actually employed. And we hear that a lot, but we always seem to always have that thought out there that Braille doesn't need to be taught anymore because, you know, they can have a screen reader. So I appreciate you bringing that to light and giving us your opinion about that. So we're going to kind of summarize a little bit about what we learned today. So you have a fascinating new product out called ReadRead. It's a Braille literacy tool that allows students to learn Braille and also learn their phonemic awareness so they can have better literacy. And it is for younger students, but it also could be extended to older students as well, depending on their level of understanding. And it will be out soon. It's going into production. And you're thinking in the next couple months?
Yes, that's the hope.
That's the hope. And if folks wanted to get their hands on it, you told us about the website. Tell us that one more time.
Yes, go to thereadread.com. So thereadread.com. And there is a sign up. If you click buy the ReadRead, you can't actually buy it right now, but it will bring you to a little document where you can insert your name and email address, and we'll shoot you an email as soon as it's available.
Okay, excellent. And are you taking any funding from folks that would maybe want to give you some funding to help to produce the product?
Yes, also on the site is a donation page. So if you feel so inclined to donate to help us get into production sooner, there's a way to do that as well.
Okay. And then you did pilot it at the Perkins School for the Blind. Are you extending your pilot any, or you're pretty much done with your pilot?
Yeah, they'll have a device in the classroom, regardless of whether we're able to start production in the next few weeks here. They've been begging us for that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. And tell the group one more time, you know, what all it can do from the Braille all the way up to the coding and the mathematics.
Sure thing. So it can do letter identification. So that's just learning the Braille letters. It can do dot number identification. So that is learning how to read the Braille and also, importantly, how to write the Braille, because reading and writing are a bit different with respect to orientation. It can do phonics. So that's the way that students learn to read. It's best practice instruction that's used all over the world and certainly in public schools in the U.S. currently. And it's not going away. It can do number identification, mathematics with feedback, Braille music notation, and you can get some solfege feedback there, so you can actually learn Braille music so that you'll be able to transcribe later. We can do computer coding through that code that I was describing, and a number of other facets. So really anything where you can have a tile that has an identity and mark it in some meaningful way, through Braille or otherwise, can be used with this device. So think of it more as a platform for learning.
Excellent. And the coding, is you said you developed the code yourself. Does
yes.
it have a name, or is it still ReadRead?
I don't have a name for it specifically. It's just a computer coding language that can be used specifically with the ReadRead, but it can apply outside of the ReadRead as well.
Okay, excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on our show today. This has been very fascinating, and we hope the audience has enjoyed this. If the audience does want to get more information, they can go to your website and sign up.